My name is Joan Young. I'm 74 years old. It is October 6th, 2022. We are in Walker, Minnesota. And my partner's name is Lou Ann Fellows Johnson. And we are hiking friends.
Okay. I am Lou Ann Fellows Johnson. I am 72. Today's date is October 6th, 2022. We are in Walker, Minnesota. My interview partner is Joan Young, and we are both past and present hikers on the North Country Trail. And my association with the North Country Trail is entirely in 1978. I answered an ad in the old Mariah magazine, hikers needed to hike the proposed route of a new national scenic trail, and I happened to be carefree and unattached, and sounded like a good idea. I was already an experienced backpacker, so I got chosen, that's the word, was one of five people that started that hike, I think March 5th, 1978, in full winter. So that was and the hike ended in October of 1978. But that's, except for always being a member of the North Country Trail Association, that is my association with the North Country Trail. So Joan, your association is much, much longer and more in depth. So let's hear about yours.
Well, I first learned about the trail in 1991 when I saw a sign at a road crossing in the Manistee National Forest in Michigan. And I had grown up in New York State where, partly because of location, but partly because it was the only real long trail at the time, I was familiar with the Appalachian Trail and had always thought that I wanted to hike it when I grew up, and then moved to the Midwest and got away from all of that hiking stuff, did family, and didn't really get any outdoor people in that bunch. So it said North Country National Scenic Trail, and I went, what? So I stopped, and there was a little signboard on the big sign for how to write for more information about it. And I wrote to the address and got a handwritten letter back from Ginny Wunsch, whose name is legend in the North Country Trail community. And somewhere in there, I joined the association and started, of course, getting the newsletter. And there was this wonderful black and white photo on one of the covers of you and Carolyn Hoffman It turns out you are a little bit younger than I am, but you had hiked it when you were young, and I was already in my 40s when I found the trail. And I was like, oh my gosh, look at those girls. They are just full of spunk. And so you two had inspired me in a way. You two inspired me.
I did not know that.
Yep.
You know, Carolyn, of course, was the planner had done the logistics for that at the behest of the International Backpackers Association, who kind of honchoed that particular hike.
Lance Field involved with that,
yes,
I think.
Yes, very much so.
Okay.
But she had done the planning and put out those ads, you know, trying to round up some people to do on this hike, and they had sent all the maps to her, and she had planned out, and of course we had the red line on the map, but she had planned out, and I actually have it with me, an almost step-by-step plan of the whole hike.
Okay.
Which, of course, went by the wayside.
Well, you only had a corridor, too.
We had a corridor.
There wasn't it wasn't even officially a trail yet.
No, there wasn't. It wasn't even an official trail. The whole hike was, the intention was to get boots on the ground, try to follow the red line as closely as we could, make notations on the maps, and send them back to the Department of Agriculture, which is who was doing it at the time. I guess it wasn't the Park Service.
No, the Forest Service is under agriculture.
Okay, then that's and but I remember that's who we're sending it back to. So we didn't get to keep the maps, and we just sent back, you know, like permanent water source here or trails impassable here, and we just made notes and just kept walking and walking and walking. And as you know, when we got to Ohio and the whole thing was on paved roads, we did buy bicycles to do Ohio. So, other than that, we hiked the whole thing. But, Carolyn did. Carolyn was the only one who did it, hiked the whole way.
Well, the best part of the story that has always cracked me up is that the five of you that started, the three guys dropped out and you two girls are the ones who finished.
Yes, the three men, five of us started, the three men dropped out. They made it through, we went through the state of New York, and right when we got to the New York-Pennsylvania border, one had a legitimate reason. He'd had a continual problem with his foot. He'd been to the emergency room a couple times, and he decided he was going to have to drop out, and the other two men decided that they didn't want to continue on if they were left alone with the two women. I don't know. I always thought that they just couldn't see. They were looking at the big picture the whole time instead of saying, oh, okay, today we're going to try to go 15 miles and get to this place, instead of, oh, my God, we have to hike all the way to North Dakota. It's funny, Joan, I don't think we ever really adhesed very well as a group. We had a week together up in Crown Point at a little hotel room, the Putt and Green Hotel in Crown Point. We had with Lance. Lance was there.
Okay.
And we had a week to kind of get used to ourselves and plan and just kind of do the final prep and food and stuff.
Yeah,
and
that's a huge project with people you don't know very well.
Yes, it is.
Did you and Carolyn know each other before then?
No.
Wow.
There's five. We were five. Although Carolyn and I had been communicating extensively for almost at least half a year, maybe eight and 9 months. We had done a lot of back and forth, and I don't know if she was doing the same with the guys. I honestly don't know, but we had not met any of us until we all got to Crown Point. But like I said, I think we just didn't really cohese, and I think that maybe I'm not sure exactly what they thought. I mean, the purpose was very clear what we were doing, but I'm not sure. We never really discussed it. That's part of the problem. We never had a down to, you know, a heart-to-heart conversation with what do you think is going on? All I know is one of the main problems was I was the shortest one in the group, and staying together was a problem. And the men were not willing to slow down a bit for me, and that caused a couple of really bad days for me when we were on snowshoes and going, and the weather was bad. But like I said, that's another, part of the story, but, you know, that's just one of the details. But that was basically, so at the New York-Pennsylvania border, we split. Carolyn and I went on, and of course, I missed part of the trail because I had a bicycle accident because we were on the bikes. And after I recovered, then I rejoined the trail. I wasn't about to quit. I just had to wait till I healed up enough.
Right. So the Finger Lakes Trail had been established by then. So did you follow that most of the way in New York?
We did.
Okay.
Well, absolutely. That we were on the Finger Lakes, and we were going to the shelters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were shelters.
Right.
And those shelters basically kind of, at one point, kind of saved my life, literally. But like I said, I had one. That was one of the really bad days on the trail when I was hypothermic and barely made it there. I was shivering, and I got to the shelter, and the guys looked at me and didn't even help me get my pack off. So there was just, you know, there was kind of a disconnect there. And Carolyn wasn't with me. She had to drop out for 4 days because she had a horrible open blister on her heel. And so I was alone with those three guys, and they just left me behind. And
you guys were carrying big packs,
yes,
too. These were old external frame packs.
I mean,
in that picture, that infamous picture, I shouldn't say infamous. I mean, I love that picture, okay? It's so 70s. Here's Carolyn with her long braids and, you know, her hair parted in the middle, and you guys with those big external frame backpacks that are as big as you are, just grinning from ear to ear.
Just, you know, honestly, I don't remember. Of course, the first month, you know, when we were carrying all that winter gear, I just can't imagine how much they weighed. It was probably in the 60s.
And I didn't realize, you said March 5th, 1978.
Mm-hmm.
That's the 10-year anniversary of the National Trails Act. It was signed March 5th, 1968.
Ah.
That is really cool. I'd never heard that.
That was probably intentional.
Okay.
And at the time, I probably didn't even realize it, or if I did, I completely forgot.
Okay.
But, yes, you're right. Yeah. So now that, you know, it's like, okay, so you, when did you, like you said, the family bit and everything, so when did you get really serious about doing long stretches of it?
Okay, I discovered the trail. I might have said the date wrong a few minutes ago. I don't remember if I said that. I had that discovery moment in 1988.
Oh, 88, okay.
But I took my first hike on the trail in 1991. My youngest son was a senior in high school, and my best friend's son was a junior in high school, so the kids were pretty much grown up. She has been my best friend since we were 12. We met in Girl Scout camp. Right.
Yes.
So she and I said, well, let's see if we still like hiking and stuff like that. So we rooted around in our junk piles, and her son had been a Boy Scout, mine too, but they hadn't really gotten into the camping as much. Mm. But we found some rudimentary equipment, and we did a 3-day backpacking trip on the North Country Trail in northern Michigan. And at the end of the 3 days, we sat there and we looked at each other and we said, well, do we still like this? We went, yep. Do we want to do it again? Yep. So we started planning how to do, she taught school so she could, she had her summers free, how we could do some longer hikes. And then planned for our first long hike in the summer of 1993, but she broke a bone in her foot. So it turned out to be a good thing. We took a trip together. I was working in Illinois, and we found a state park that had 14 miles of hiking trails. And I also had a puppy, and her son David wanted to go. So we did base camping and hiking in the state park, and the puppy learned tent etiquette, and David had a great time with us. And then the next summer, we did the 100 miles in the Allegheny National Forest. And then at that point, I liked the trail. I hadn't even thought about doing the whole thing. I just was enjoying long hiking again. And so in 94, we went, we added another person to our group, one of my housemates. I was in grad school, and another lady who was a housemate of mine. So Marie, my friend, and her son David, and Matilda and I went to the Western Terminus. We said, well, let's do something completely different. Let's go see what North Dakota is like. So we went and did 134 miles at the western end from Lone Tree all the way through to Lake Sakakawea.
Mm-hmm.
And we were being interviewed for a newspaper at Riverdale, which is the little town that was built for the people who constructed the Garrison Dam.
Ah,
so
okay.
It's the little town right at the dam, little city. And the reporter, while we were having this interview, said to me, well, what is your, what do you feel about the North Country Trail? What do you want to do? How much of it do you want to do? And I sat there and it, out of my mouth came, I want to hike all of it. So we spent the next 20 years doing that.
All right. That's funny. It just left my head what I was going to respond to. But, North Dakota. By the time we got to North Dakota,
it was cold.
It was fall. But one of those little ideas that they said was, what was the most unique person you met on the way? There was an historian at Fort Ransom, and his name was Snorri Thorfinnsson.
Yes, I have his book, his little booklet.
Well, I've never forgotten. Of course, he showed us around Fort Ransom.
You actually met him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
okay,
he was there.
Because he's long dead now.
Yes, I'm sure. But he showed us all around, and we did. We stayed in Fort Ransom several days, and the people there showed us all around, and we visited these historic sites, and they told us about, that the Vikings had been there.
Right.
But Snorri Thorfinnsson showed us around, and I've never forgotten him or the name.
Because I know, the name is quite memorable.
I love it. That was, and since I missed Lower Michigan, but not the UP. My favorite part on the trail that I was able to do was Pictured Rocks, Lake Superior.
Okay.
That was my favorite part of the of the whole thing, because by the time we got to North Dakota, it was beautiful. It was sunflowers, but it was acres and acres of
sunflowers. Oh, the sunflowers are amazing.
Well, yeah, and they were out, so they hadn't been harvested yet. But it was, as you know, up a mile, over a mile, up a mile, over a mile, just section roads, because that's all we had with followed section roads, and I imagine it still is the same. I'm not sure.
Not to the extent that it was, because I'm now doing the trail for the second time.
Ah, yes.
And the first time we went through North Dakota, it was a lot of roadwalk, and there still is a fair amount of roadwalk, but there have been a lot of agreements made with landowners so that there's much less roadwalking than there was.
Good.
With a lot of great interpretive signs.
Oh.
As well. It's very nice. I mean, they're well on their way to creating some nice trail. The challenge in North Dakota is trail maintenance for them is pretty much 95% keeping it mowed, which some of the chapters are doing better than others. There have been some jokes this year about having to hike through grass over our heads with nothing but Avenza to guide us. And that's not too great, but when it's kept mowed, it's fine.
I have several photos in the workshop I'm doing tomorrow of the trail in North Dakota. It's either just following a fence line or a muddy road next to the fence line, going, following a section.
Mm-hmm.
But
well,
I'm glad that
very encouraged at how much more trail is off-road everywhere than it was the first time I went through.
That is encouraging. And it's funny because, and of course, one of my hopes for the future is that, of course, more and more as time goes by and the different chapters, can do more and more, that there will be a continuous path with very little roads, which of course is the ideal. You can't necessarily get what you want, but that would be one of the things for in the future. And I would love to at least do some of those sections over again, actually, and compare them, because there would be no comparison.
Right.
Well,
that's part of the reason I wanted to do it again, was because so much has changed.
Well, especially Ohio. because Ohio, we just followed the red line, which was basically on paved roads.
Okay.
So, we, you know, Ohio was a lot of rain and, well, I reread my journals before this, which I hadn't done in decades, and I hadn't remembered how many times I said rain, rain,
wow,
rain, rain, just lots of rain, but we just, you know, persevered. But, yeah, the bikes, the one good thing about the bikes was, you know, if you're going to walk on the road, you might as well ride on the road and kind of get a few miles, you know, more a day, because then we knew eventually we were going to get to where we could actually get back on trail, which was, of course, especially the upper Michigan, because I loved upper Michigan, except for the black flies. Hey, you just had to deal with it, because the blueberries were ripe and the Lake Superior was gorgeous, and we camped we could camp right on the beach, and we had, like I said, we just had to kind of tuck your cuffs into your socks, and so the black flies didn't try to suck the salt off of your skin. That's what they were after.
I think they have little buzz saws attached.
They do have little buzz saws. Yeah, but anyway, we don't want to talk about mosquitoes.
Right, right. No sense mentioning them.
No sense mentioning them. That's just life in the North Woods, especially in July and August. Whew. Yeah, I do have some bad memories of that. We left Lake Itasca, and I just remember I had a head net. And,
right.
Just drinking my water through the net, because I didn't even want to lift the net up. So I just drank through the netting, you know. Couldn't eat through the netting, but we ate in the tent. Anyway, I can't remember too many. I guess we saw a lot of deer. I don't remember. We never saw anything besides deer.
Really?
No. Well, we weren't in, except for the Finger Lakes, we weren't in Adirondacks. We weren't in a whole bunch of, like, forested areas.
What route did you take through the Adirondacks? I mean, roughly.
I honestly can't. We entered Pennsylvania and then made a kind of a 90-degree turn to the west.
Right, but the Adirondacks up in northern New York from Crown Point.
I'm sorry. I honestly would have to look at the map.
Okay.
I can't remember.
Because we had there was no corridor until about 15 years ago, because the Park Authority didn't really want us to go through the trail. But the association had been told that we would never be allowed through the high peaks, so we knew that, but they weren't moving quickly toward providing any kind of route. But about 15 years ago, they got serious about allowing us through and said that the first step was that we had to be written into every unit management plan in the Adirondack Park, which was about 10 of them. So that took and those are renewed every 10 years. So that took about 10 years. And then they said, okay, here's a corridor. Here's a 30-mile-wide corridor that we want you to stay within this. And Mary Coffin from New York has been working really hard on identifying an actual route in that corridor.
Okay.
And now it's not 100% finalized, but a great deal of the route in the Adirondacks is identified. Some of it is even blazed. And that's one of the most exciting things to me.
No, that is, because it's a long time coming.
It's way long coming. The association is 42 years. The trail is 42 years old. The association's 41. But, 41 years, and we still, we're close, but there's not 100% nailed down route in the Adirondacks yet. But
yeah,
I was able
to
hike that in May and June. So that was really exciting to me.
I do remember right after we left, it was Lester Flow, the Boreas River. Everything was frozen, so we went right across lakes.
Oh, wow.
We snowshoed just across the lakes because they were frozen solid. But I remember Boreas River, Lester Flow. We did go through some people's summer home properties, and we just kind of, well, the roads weren't plowed, but we snowshoed down roads that I'm sure were actually private property, but no one was there.
Mm-hmm.
I probably shouldn't mention that. The second night out, we could not find a place at all to stamp out platforms for our tents. And one of the guys found one of the summer porches, screened-in porches.
Okay.
Was not locked. So we spent the night in Milk's porch. And we left it better than we found it. We swept it out.
Okay. But well, the statute of limitations is probably long run out.
And I imagine Milt no longer lives at Milt's porch. But anyway, no, but that was the only time that we knowingly trespassed. And it was the second night. And we're going, oh, great. You know, but other times we were able to find we were beside railroad tracks, active tracks. So the trains went by and we went.
Well, I don't know if you, I think you knew that she did this. A couple of years ago, I had been trying to get Carolyn to write about your journey, and she didn't, she was really reluctant, but a couple of years ago, she coughed up her old journals and put pictures and sort of a daily log on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Did you see that?
Yes, well, she turned it into a book.
Oh, she did. Yes. I didn't know that. Oh my gosh, I have to get it
with me.
Okay,
it's self-published.
That well, sure.
So
that's fine.
Yeah, but anyway, I don't know how many copies she has, but obviously she sent me one. But I can show it to you.
Yeah.
I have it.
But anyway. You know, I mean, she talked continuously about you were just if sometimes you had to follow power lines or other kinds of rights of way anyway to
railroad
get
tracks,
your way through and try to stay within the general corridor.
Yeah, it was a challenge, and but I must say, for a little middle class girl from Southern California, it was quite the adventure. You know, it really was. And of course I had been backpacking before that, and I backpacked many years after that. And, but it stuck with me, the bug, you know, the backpacking bug through, you know, good times and bad times. I always, with my job, I was able sometimes to take, work per diem and say, okay, I won't be available until September 14th and take the whole summer and hike, and then come back and call the nursing director and say, I'm back, and put me on the schedule, and I'd be working the next day.
Wow.
So that was one of the nice things about being a nurse and working at some place that had per diem employees, which means a larger. I worked for Kaiser, and Kaiser had per diem, which is different than, you know. Anyway, I made more money, but it didn't include health coverage. I just bought my own health coverage.
Okay.
But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I was able to arrange it so I could go on some really good hikes when most people were working, because I could work and hike. So, and only because I didn't have a kind of profession where they would frown on you taking 3 months off every year. So I did a lot of my hiking, obviously, in the summer, because that was the best time, you know, to me. Well, I'm a three-season hiker. After that winter, after that first month where we were on snowshoes and it sleeted on us and it turned to ice on us, I wasn't real thrilled about winter hiking. Never have been.
Well,
but I grew up in Southern California, so I wasn't used to really intense cold like that.
It needs a lot more serious equipment, which costs a lot more money, too.
Yes.
And it's not impossible to be relatively comfortable in the winter, but it takes a different level of preparation. So most of my hiking has been three season as well.
I have to laugh. My my winter bedtime routine on that trip, I had felt insoles, wool felt insoles on my boots because it was for warmth, and I had this sweater that I would wear to bed. And the wool felt insoles went against my forearms, and my socks went against my on my abdomen under the sweater to dry, and I just everything just went on me or in my sleeping bag to dry. It got a little humid in the sleeping bag.
But so I guess I would like to just clarify for the interview that you and Carolyn were the first two people to follow the route of the trail, and then
yes. Carolyn was the only one who did the whole thing. Yeah,
and then I was the first woman to hike the whole thing.
Yes,
and now I'm doing it the second time. So
yes, absolutely, and like I said, the segments that I didn't actually get to hike, still in the back of my mind, I want to do it just to say that I've done it.
You'll practically be in my backyard.
I would like that. I haven't ruled that out.
Yeah.
There's 50 miles on the Oregon-Washington Pacific Crest Trail that I have to finish because I'll have all but 50 miles of the Oregon-Washington PCT, plus a lot of California, but I'll never say never, but I'll never be able to finish that because my altitude problems that I've developed, but oh well. Anyway,
I'm personally delighted that you and Carolyn have come out of the woodwork after all these years and are, you know, telling us stories about the North Country Trail again.
Yeah, well, you know, I tried to get her to come.
Been trying to get her to come.
She won't.
For several years.
I talked to her just a little while ago, and she said no. Anyway, yeah, but for a long time, we kind of dropped out of each other's, you know, wheelhouse because just, you know, her life, my life, blah, blah, blah. But a couple years ago, I finally said, this is ridiculous. We need to at least talk on the phone, you know, every once in a while. So we finally is, you know, because for a long time, we just, you know, went our own separate ways, and I've never been back east again. You know, so, but and she apparently won't leave.
Well, yeah, I get that. I'm a child of the East. I like the Eastern forests.
Yeah, and that's funny. And I like the Western trails and forests. And it's just because that's my very first hikes were, as with the Girl Scouts.
Okay.
My very first backpacking trip was with the Girl Scouts, and it was like a 6-day trip.
Okay.
And all the other little girls, and we had problems, and we got lost, and the Forest Service had to come find us, and blah, 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 and all the other girls, I don't know if they ever backpacked again, and I said, oh, I can do this. See, I was terrible at sports, but I found out that I can walk, I can hike.
Well, that's just it, and that's, almost anybody can walk, and you need some skills to add to that, but hiking is pretty much for everybody that can walk.
And it turns out I had the stamina, and I could just keep plugging along.
It's great.
Yeah. But anyway, I think it looks like we're just about, is that about it? We should probably just kind of, otherwise I could just get off on a tangent and tell stories and we'd be way over time.
Well, I can talk about the trail forever.
Yes, you can talk about the trail forever. But it was quite the adventure, and like I said, I would like to reconnect with the trail while I can.
And it's pretty interesting. We know we don't have an exact count, but as far as we know, there are fewer than 25 people that have hiked the whole trail now, even after 42 years.
Yeah, that tells you something.
Right.
And you know, it's longer. The proposed route wasn't as long as it is
now.
Oh,
no, no. The proposed route was 3,200 miles, and it's up to 4,800.
Yes, which is why it's, you know, you can, if you are really, really a power hiker, you can do the PCT in one season. And the Continental Divide Trail, you have to really be be able to push it. But the North Country Trail.
Well, you have to do 20. You have to average 25 miles a day to do it in 10 months.
Yeah, and that's.
And I can't do that anymore.
I never could.
So
I never could.
Yeah, that's one of the challenges of the North Country Trail is the mental challenge to stay with it that long.
Oh yes, the mental challenge on any of these long trails. We can't even get into that because that's what got the three men. The three men were physically much more able to hike than Carolyn or I, but the mental challenge got to them. That's it in a nutshell. it was just, yeah. So, I guess.
We got 5 minutes.
Oh, we got five. Oh, that was five. Okay, I thought you were waving like, okay. Well, I don't know if there's that much more to say besides the, it's very seldom, it's just is that it's physical. It's mental.
Right. I mean, yeah. The first time I did the trail, I did it in sections over 20 years, but mm-hmm. I was doing about 100 miles in the summer, and then once I decided I wanted to do the whole trail, I increased that to add maybe a 50-mile hike in the spring and another one in the fall, so I was maybe getting 200 miles a year. But now this time I'm trying to hike it as a through hike, straight through.
Yes.
And I'm in month 11, and I'm about 3/4 of the way through.
Ay, ay, ay.
So yeah. It's just...
I saw all your planning and all the planning you did that you posted, you know, with the and your food and everything. And
it's a total way of life. It's not a hike. It's a life.
Absolutely. That is absolutely true. And I guess maybe just long-distance hiking is a way of life. I guess we'll leave it at that.
Well,
does
I'm
that
really
sound good?
I'm really pleased that... A number that we're seeing, relatively speaking, many more people who are interested in through hiking the North Country Trail. We used to see maybe 4 or 5 people a decade who were interested, and they're not all completing it, as, I mean, a lot of people who start the AT don't complete it either.
Right.
But we're seeing 4 or 5 a year who are interested or are starting.
Wow.
So that's an amazing growth in the interest.
And it's a completely different kind of trail, I mean, hiking than out west. And I think that might, you know, and it's longer. So
right.
I don't know.
Well, it's
the forests are different and the altitude
things
is different.
That the North Country Trail has to offer in terms of scenery and the experiences that you're going to have are quite a bit different from the 3 big north-south trails. And a number of hikers aren't really aware of that when they start the North Country Trail, and they think it's going to be really similar to the AT and the PCT and the Continental Divide, and it's just not. And Mm-mm. some of them are disappointed. Some of them are blown away by the different kind of challenge it presents, and some of them just don't like it, which is that's fine. But the North Country Trail is a very different trail from those 3 that everybody knows about, and some people fall in love with it.
When we were in Wisconsin, I got really excited because the Ice Age Trail crosses it. They have big signs, but you know, the Ice Age National Scenic Trail, and I said, wow, I know that one, you know. And I've read about some people hiking it, but that's a completely different kind of trail too. But
right, well, that's each of the national scenic trails has its own identity,
and
that's the whole point, that the North Country Trail has an identity of its own, and we need to help people discover that and appreciate that.
And I think that's what a conference like this can really help to achieve.
Exactly.
And publicity.
Great, all set?
Yeah.